glad that those that can be out are with us here this evening. Certainly are thinking of those that under the weather and dealing with their different issues health-wise. And so we're grateful for those that are able to be with us. And decided to change the topic a little bit. I was having a little bit of difficulty getting what I was trying to get out this morning. So I thought I'm just going to have a very short lesson here tonight. I'm sure that'll be fine with everybody. so you don't have to hear me struggling to get that out. But as I was struggling to talk a little bit, and I was actually thinking a little bit, I was like, as hard as it was this morning and even now, I'll take this any day over how hard it was for me to talk several years ago. And as I was thinking about the difficulties that come if you ever had struggling to talk, whether it's a cold or maybe you're having some issue that's just hard to talk, I just thought of several points that when I was struggling to speak, blessings that actually came from that, things that maybe we sometimes don't think about, that maybe is good sometimes if we just can't talk. And I think sometimes we are sometimes under pressure to speak a lot, under pressure to say something at different times. But also, there are some times in the Bible when it says, actually, it'd be better just not to speak. And so just would think about that here a little bit this evening. When I was struggling at my worst, it was right about the time that we were expecting Alice. Beth was expecting Alice. And that was our first child. And, of course, I was just kind of worried a lot about, you know, am I going to be able to continue preaching? And if not, what are we going to do for a living? How are we going to support the family? All those kinds of things. So anytime, I'm sure we all recognize when you're stressed out about anything, humor is always good. If you can laugh about something, it's always good to kind of break the tension. And I remember my dad called me, and he said, "Hey, Danny," he's like, "I got great news." He's like, "I know how you can get your voice back." I said, "Really?" He said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, a friend of mine just called me, and he said, says you don't have a name for the baby yet. Name the baby John, and I guarantee you'll get your voice back." And I started laughing. I was like, "Dad, oh man, that's hilarious." I said, "That is great. I'll never forget that. That was one of my favorite all-time moments." Because there is a time in Scripture where there was a man who lost his voice, and he lost his voice for a very specific reason. And when he named the child John, he got the voice back. But there was a very reason why that was. It made me think about times when maybe we can't talk, or maybe we shouldn't talk. And one specific time, or maybe it's better that we don't talk, is if we are struggling with our faith. If you're ever at a moment where you're struggling with your faith, struggling to trust God, struggling to believe God's promises, or believe that God is able to be there when it seems hard for him to comfort you, or hard to trust that he's willing to comfort you, it's best really not to talk. Because when we are struggling to believe God and struggling to believe his word, we're tempted to say all kinds of things that really are not beneficial or helpful to us at all. And it's better when we are struggling, if any moment, if you're struggling with, does God care about me right now? Is God doing something about this right now? Where is God when all these things are happening? It actually is better for us to be silent and to think about what God has already done. Here is a moment where this man, Zechariah, was going to struggle with putting together promises that God was making to him. And because he spoke rashly, because he spoke too soon, he spoke untrue words. He spoke words that were not helpful to him. And so as a consequence, he was told not to speak. He was unable to speak. And through that blessing, his faith was actually strengthened. Notice this in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. It says, "Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your petition has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him, and the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Some wonderful things here, some wonderful promises, some wonderful privileges that they're going to be used by God to usher in this last of the great prophets to prepare the way for the Messiah. And Zechariah speaks words that are troubling him, words that are filled with fear, words that are fear filled with doubt, anxiety. I don't understand. This sounds wonderful, but there are so many issues, so many problems that I see right now that make it very hard for me to recognize how any of this could possibly happen. And as I find myself in situations like that, when maybe we're struggling with knowing how God is going to resolve maybe issues in our life, maybe how God is going to make something better, how God could possibly turn something that seems kind of bleak or uncertain into something of beauty or something of goodness or something that can ultimately be used for God's purposes. Let me encourage you, if you're in those moments and you're doubting and you're struggling, just don't say anything. Don't speak. Pray, meditate, think about what God has already revealed. Here, Zechariah goes ahead and speaks all kinds of words of doubt, uncertainty. Notice in verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain?" Seems that's a big question we often say. How can I know for sure? How can I be sure that this is going to turn out well? I'm so scared. I'm so frightened. I can't possibly see. I know, God, you tell me that I should trust you. You tell me I should put my faith in you. But I just don't see how. If you're ever struggling with that, let me encourage you. Don't speak. Don't say it. Even while you're thinking it, turn to the word of the Lord, and maybe let this section be a word of place to begin that place of encouragement. And listen to what the angel said. As Zechariah said, "How can I know this for certain? I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." Let me encourage you to recognize every promise, every word of assurance, every word of comfort comes from one who stands in the presence of God. This is from the Holy Spirit. A person of deity. This is a part of the Godhead. This is God. When we read the words of the Bible, the words of assurance, of faith, of hope, we can trust for certain this is God himself. Now here was an angel, a representation of one who stood in the presence of God and said, "How dare you? Do not doubt anything I say to you." When we are in places of doubt, the best thing to do is for us not to speak, but to listen. But to let the truth and the comfort of God's word work over us and fill us up with hope, comfort, strength, and dependency on what God says is possible to happen if we simply trust in him. And rightly so, here the angel basically disciplines John by saying, it would be better if you just aren't able to say much for a while, for you to just listen, for you to think for a little bit. So he says, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in the proper time." I have a strong belief that is because of the lengthy time of silence that was able to help Zechariah say words of truth and believe that the child should be named John, when so many other people were telling him that was absurd, that was ridiculous, no one in your family is named John, but he was led to faith. No, this is what God says, and I believe it. That's probably the best thing for us. If we're struggling, don't speak. Be silent. Meditate. Listen. And remind yourself with these words of comfort. When God speaks to us, we can trust him. Another time it's probably best for us to remain quiet, to not speak, is any time perhaps we're were in the presence of gossip, news traveling around about others that maybe we don't know if it's true or not, or maybe is of such a nature of maybe individuals may be tempted to speak ill of others to try to put doubt in our minds of someone's integrity or someone's intentions. It's very tempting sometimes to engage in it or add to it. It's better sometimes to just not say anything at all, to just be silent, maybe even change the subject, or to just not say anything to add to the topic itself. Proverbs chapter 26 encourages us that when we're faced with that option from time to time, we're going to be tempted at times. He says, notice the beauty of not saying anything when news that maybe is potentially damaging or hurtful or doubtful about the actions or the intentions of someone else, and we do not know if it's true or not, or even if it is true, but it's spun in a way to make it in such a way to damage this individual, to hurt this individual, to cast doubt on this individual's integrity or willingness to be genuine in their behavior. Proverbs 26 gives us a good advice here. In Proverbs chapter 26, let's read beginning in verse 17. It says, like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows in death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor. It says, was I not joking? For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, contention quiets down. This is the best way to kill gossip. Let it not spread any further. It's when it comes to our place, when it's our turn to contribute, to just say nothing at all. Just maybe smile. Thank you for speaking about this, but I have nothing to add. And the third point that I think about sometimes, it's almost maybe a blessing to not be able to speak and to choose not to speak when we're tempted, is when we're angry. When we're angry. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So many times it is so tempting when we are not only filled with doubt, maybe filled with suspicion, but also filled with anger. It seems like all of these occasions are moments when we are tempted to speak, and it seems like any time these, in my personal experience, whenever I'm tempted and I succumb to these moments, I know when I'm in doubt, when I'm worried, when I'm anxious and I speak, nothing good comes from it. And I know whenever I'm suspicious and words of gossip come around and maybe adding to that suspicion, anything I say is never helpful. And I know another moment whenever I'm angry, whenever I'm filled with just intense, burning, hot anger and I speak, nothing good comes from it. It's better to remain silent. In James chapter 1, he speaks about this in verse 19. In James chapter 1, verse 19, he says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. In other words, whenever we're angry, perhaps this is the best time for us to be hearers of the word, to let God direct our anger, to let God direct those feelings in the proper way. We're going to be tempted to put them in places that we feel is best, that we think is beneficial, when we can't trust ourselves. And I think this is a great point of wisdom that James is encouraging and admonishing us all to do. And so those three simple points I just want to bring to us, that in those moments we're going to be tempted when we're in doubt. When you're in doubt, don't speak. When you're suspicious, don't speak. And when you're angry, don't speak. If anyone is with us who's never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity for you to perhaps speak the best thing you could possibly say. which is that you believe that Jesus came and died for your benefit, for your soul, to save you, redeem you, and to let his blood cleanse you from all your sins and allow you to be born again and added to the kingdom. As I think about being unable to speak and knowing how important the confession is, I'm reminded of a story that a preacher told once. Maybe some of you have heard it before. He was a very well-known speaker and preacher of the gospel, and he would always emphasize how important it was that we just trusted the scripture and how it unfolds, and we just simply do as it says. He speaks of a time he was in a meeting, and he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the simple gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and giving hope to any in the audience who were sinners, who needed hope and forgiveness of sin. And a woman came forward after the invitation. And as he began trying to speak to her, he realized it was going to be quite difficult, and someone kind of tapped him on the shoulder and realized this woman is deaf and mute. Perhaps she had someone interpreting to her during the sermon. He didn't know. All he knew was, I'm going to have a difficult time trying to communicate. And apparently she's come and understands that she wants something about the gospel. So he began thinking, and he decided he was going to turn to Acts chapter 8. So he turned to Acts chapter 8, and he held it open to the woman. And he took her finger, and he just had her move her finger down on the page. And they started reading in verse 32. And they both had their fingers pressed together, and they were just going down the line. Said, now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? And they continued moving their finger down the page. They come to verse 35. And they read together, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from his scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And the woman starts pointing at this. And the preacher went down, and so he looked at the next verse. And he read verse 37. And said, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he starts pointing at this verse and looking at her. And so she would drop down to the next verse. And said, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said she couldn't have pressed her finger harder on the page. It just was, couldn't speak, but could communicate through her action that she was moved by the powerful message of the gospel. So he took her finger and he moved down to verse 38. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch. And so they went down into the water and she was able to go by that. But I always thought it was such a great message. Sometimes our speaking gets in the way of just simply just reading and studying the truth. Sometimes we speak when we should be silent, and we say too much when we should just listen. And the word of God is so plain and so simple that often doesn't really need much more commentary from us, but just the simple trust and faith that it is from God's word. And if we do as it says, we will have hope, we will have a future, and we can have a clear, innocent conscience and stand before God and love and serve him. So if anyone needs to obey the gospel, we encourage you, won't you come and obey these simple passages together while we stand and sing together.